Good morning and welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown. You just saw those snowflakes on the screen. That's because it's snowing here, something that rarely happens in Atlanta, but we are all having some fun celebrating it and trusting it won't last long because nobody likes shoveling snow. So anyway, welcome. We're glad you're here. I'm here to remind you that such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You're that opportunity, so am I, and so it is. Knowing that that is true, knowing that that is how we think about and operate and understand this philosophy of life that we teach here, we recognize that the one power that's out there everywhere is moving into us and through us, each one individually in our own way and through our own filters. So we, because of that, we know who you are and we celebrate who you are. We may not know your name. We may not have your personality written down in some kind of personality test, so we recognize you. We may not know all your stories, but we know that underneath and behind everything else, you are an expression of the divine. You are the divine taking shape and form as one particular individuation of life. So that individuation, as you have created it, we can only do one thing, and that is be grateful and celebrate who you are. Grateful for your choices up until this point. Grateful that you're here with us. Grateful that and celebrating how you understand yourself or self-identify, whatever culture groups you belong to or whatever subgroups of the culture and the world around us you identify with. Those are all expressions of the divine, and they all are connected in the oneness. So we celebrate you. We're grateful for you and glad you're here with us. So one of the things that we do here is we do teach a specific philosophy and a particular way of looking at life, starting with only one power, not two or three or four. So we always like to share with you what some of the excerpts from that philosophy, as stated in our Declaration of Principles. This is only a small part of what we talk about and teach. Listen. I believe.
I believe.
I believe in one God.
One absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love.
And creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life.
And the immortality of the individual soul.
Forever unfolding.
I believe.
I believe.
I believe in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is. And so it is. I believe in the eternal givingness of God to all. That's a bit of our theme for the day. So right now, I'd like to invite one of our practitioners, one of our co-leaders in practitioner work here. A practitioner is someone who has studied this teaching, who knows how to use it for themselves, and has transformed themselves to a point where they can help and support other people to make those kinds of shifts. So today we have with us the wonderful Judy Ailey.
Thanks, Dr. Bob. Well, good morning. Welcome, everybody. Today we continue our monthly theme of living everyday wonder, and we're focusing on the four basic ideas in the science of mind. Today's talk title is How Much Can You Take? And this week, my own personal focus has been on how I might be blocking my own good, right? We're the ones who are blocking it if it's blocked. And looking at that more deeply in myself, I come across the idea of how much am I believing in my own worthiness and how much am I feeling that I really deserve good in my life? I don't know about you, but in my life, the idea of being worthy and deserving is a theme that keeps coming up for me. When I think of spirit and the good that it does through me in my life, in the world, I know that I can only receive to the point of where I feel worthy and deserving. So these ideas are worth exploring in a deeper way. You know, as I was a young child and onward, I somehow internalized the idea that I was not worthy and I didn't deserve much. I always felt flawed at some deep level. You know, well, of course, in this teaching, we learn the opposite of this. We learn that we are worthy of every good thing and that we deserve the best in life, not because of anything that we have done or accomplished or earned, but simply because of the truth of who we are as spiritual beings, that we are not flawed at that deep spiritual level. In fact, that we are the opposite of that, at the spiritual level, perfect, whole, and complete. So it has taken some time and some deliberate work over the years to turn this around for me. Like most things that we uncover and find our feelings about that we want to transform our thinking about, it's sort of like peeling back an onion. These layers of old ways of thinking that need to be transformed. So recently, as I was doing some writing, I realized that I was still having kind of this reaction, kind of this negative, kind of just like, ugh, I really don't like that, of saying that I was worthy and deserving. But at some deep level, I was really not completely on board or comfortable with those ideas. So a quote arrived to me in my life just at the right moment when I was feeling this. And this is a quote from Deepak Chopra. Once you know who you really are, being is enough. You feel neither superior to anyone nor inferior to anyone, and you have no need for approval from others because you've awakened to your own infinite spiritual worth. This quote addresses the trap of feeling either inferior or superior to others. That either side of that coin doesn't work. Looking for approval from the outside, another trap. The truth that we embrace is our own infinite worth and therefore being deserving of every good thing simply because we are spiritual beings created out of love to express that love and that goodness in the world. So how much can you take? What do you think you deserve to take? How worthy are you feeling and believing that you are? I want to close this part here by reading a list of ways that I challenge you to feel deserving. This list comes from the book Writing Down Your Soul by Janet Connor. Whoops, wrong book. Here it is. All right. So you have a reaction to any of these? I deserve to have a better life. I deserve to find my way to the life I want. I deserve to feel the guiding hand of spirit. I deserve to ask for miracles. I deserve to receive miracles. I deserve to be happy. I deserve to live in a beautiful home. I deserve to be healthy. I deserve to be in a loving, committed partnership or relationship. I deserve to have loving, joyful, peaceful relationships with my friends, my coworkers, my family. I deserve to have work that brings me joy, meaning, and prosperity. I deserve to have financial freedom and security. I deserve to receive the abundant blessings of the universe. I deserve to have a real, vibrant relationship with the cosmic divine. I deserve to be forgiven for my mistakes and transgressions. I deserve to live in peace. I deserve to be whole. I deserve to be healed. I deserve to be holy. So, where are you coming out on the feeling of being worthy and being deserving? So I just ask you to think about that with yourself. All right. I'm going to stop that part, and we're going to move now into spiritual mind treatment. And, you know, just also thinking about how much can you take? how much can we receive from the spirit, from this universal goodness? How much do we believe that we are worth and deserving? So let's just take a moment. I hope you will feel comfortable enough to just relax where you are. Close your eyes if you're able to do that, and to accept these words for yourself as I say them for myself in the first person, but they're really words for all of us. So take a couple of nice, slow, deep breaths and relax. And know this with me. I exist in this one universal presence that is life, that is divine good, that is every good thing that I can think of, that I desire, that I embrace, that I am one with this power, one with this first cause, one with this universal mind, that this presence and this power permeates all of life, and it permeates me, my body, my affairs, my life, my circumstances, everything about me. And as I sink into this deep knowing of oneness, I know that it is all good. I know that at the heart of me is a spiritual wholeness, a completeness, a goodness, a pure divine light and love that is the truth of who I am. And because of this, I know that I am worthy. I am worthy of every good thing in the world, that I am worthy to have a life that I desire, that I am worthy to experience vibrant health, to experience great loving relationships, to experience opulent abundance of every kind of good, including financial, and that I am worthy and have infinite creativity within me that expresses as me. So I know that this is the truth of who I am. And as I open myself up to receiving the greater and greater good that is mine, that is available to me, I open my heart, my mind, my consciousness to believing and to accepting greater good in my life, to know that it is possible for me to have a life that is absolutely a fabulous life to live in every way. So I just turn away from any idea that I need to struggle or strain or feel lack or limitation or worry, or just anything in that line. I just turn away from all of that. Instead, I know that I am supported completely and loved completely by this presence, this power, this love, this peace, this goodness, this oneness, and this wholeness, and that I am one with it always, always, always. So I take this. I know that this is the truth of me. I take this into my world, into my life, into my interactions with people, into the decisions I make, into the food that I eat, into everything that I do. I take this knowing, this oneness, this wholeness, this guidance with me. So I know that this is the truth of who I am. So I release these words now with great thanksgiving. I release them into the divine mind, knowing that they are so, knowing that they are accomplished. So I release this now, and so it is. All right. Then after that, the next thing we have is music by Bob Sema. It's called Right in Front of You. Y'all have a great week. Thank you.
celebrate out loud. Every sunrise is a sacred invitation to bow down. Every single ray of the sun, it shines for you. How could it be anything but a miracle? Tell me, won't you? Tell me, won't you? Like a snowflake mountain in your hand, the ticking of the talking grain of sand. Like it's right in front of you, right in front of you, right in front of you. Living like it's right in front of you, right in front of you, right in front of you. You're moving fast at twice the speed of here and now. You're running from moment to moment. The present can't chase you down. Yesterday's pain and tomorrow's dreams. You're a multitasker, taken for granted, missing the message of the magic in between. And like a snowflake melting in your hand, the ticking of the talking grain of sand. Living like it's right in front of, right in front of, right in front of you. Living like it's right in front of you, right in front of you, right in front of you. Look it in the eye, take it by the hand. Put your feet back on the ground, let it do its dance. Celebrate out loud. Every sunrise is a sacred invitation to bow down. Every single ray of the sun, it shines for you. How could it be anything but a miracle? Tell me, won't you? Tell me. Living like it's right in front of, right in front of, right in front of you. Living like it's right in front of, right in front of, right in front of you.
Thank you, Judy, and thank you, Doug Moody, for his choices of our music every week on this broadcast. I'm so grateful for him and for you and Judy and for all of our practitioners and everyone that contributes so much to this. Vance, who's always in the background, and you rarely see him. Well, you see him every week actually talking about money, but there are so many people that put all this together and to help make this happen, and I'm so grateful to all of you and for all of you. Diego, our production guy from all the way out in Denver, where it really snows. So today's talk, how much can you take? How much? Wow. What did you think when you first heard that? I thought something about it when I first wrote it. I deliberately left out one of the key words just to see what kind of thinking it might stir up. There's an awful lot of talk going around these days about we just can't take any more. You know, COVID, and then COVID again, and then other strands of COVID, and then travel being restricted. And in some countries where the restrictions are really pretty fierce and intense, you know, there's protests, there's all kinds of challenges happening in the life of the people, the everyday life of the people. So it has become quite an interesting phrase: how much can you take? But I'm the key word that I left out, and Judy has already spoken to that very beautifully, is how much good can you take? I had a good friend. I still have the friend. He's still a good friend, but we were living in the same community, and he had gotten into this teaching for a ways and a while, and he was learning things about it and learning how it works, and discovering that, you know, his relationships had improved, his finances had gotten better, and he was just finding a whole big, beautiful, wonderful expansion of his life. And it was rich and exciting and meaningful to him. And he called me one night and said, how much can I have? I mean, I keep changing my mind about things and thinking more broadly about them, and they take off and it happens. And there's just more and more. Is it okay to have more of the good that I want for my life? And I thought, wow, we are so trained, aren't we, in our culture and our times, to think our good should be limited. You can only have a certain amount. It's not unusual when people start working in this teaching, they say, well, I just want a little bit of this, or I want just enough financial stability to get by. I want just enough of this and that and the other, as if there's not enough to go around. And that has truly been many people's experience. I used to tell a story, and I'll tell the short version right now, of being grown up in a family where there might be eight people around the table and six biscuits. So somebody's got to do without biscuits. And that was never going to be me if I could help it. And yet that's kind of the way in which we are trained in this culture to see the world, is there's not enough. There's not enough. And that whole idea of it is then helps us or motivates us, trains us to look through that lens. There's been a lot of study done about perception and how we perceive things. And it's one of, and the conclusions of most of the theories is that we learn how we perceive, that we are bombarded every day with so much information, visual, sound, touch, taste, smell, all of this stuff coming to us, and our brains are just wide open to absorb it until we start to learn what to filter out. And you've all probably seen the video from, I think it's the Harvard, or no, the Stanford studies on perception, where there are people playing basketball, and there's a gorilla that walks, not a real one, of course, a dressed up gorilla, walks through the crowd, walks through the basketball court, and through the video, and nobody sees it. Rarely, there are very few people who actually see the gorilla, because we are so trained to look for certain things, and we filter out so much. You've seen those pictures where you look at a picture, and then you look at another picture, and it looks the same, and then you discover, wait, no, there's a whole flip side to that picture that wasn't there. Excuse me. So what we're talking about here is that there is so much out there coming at us and coming toward us, and we are well trained at filtering it, because we would probably, you know, blow a gasket if we took it all in. But that filter is part of what keeps our good away from us. Those messages we have about how much can you have, those messages you have about, maybe, like, I love that piece that Judy read about deserving. I don't deserve this, that, or the other because I did so and so in the past, or because I think a certain way, or there's something wrong with me. I'm too, you know, all those twos, too fat, too skinny, too tall, too short, too dumb, too smart. All those things that we use, we're taught to make us separate or not good enough or too good. When in reality, it's all out there around you all the time. All of the good you can imagine. So think a minute about what is your good? What is good for you? Not what you're told is supposed to be good for you. Like I'm told exercise is supposed to be good for me. It doesn't mean I want to get out there and exercise for exercise shape or sake. But man, I love taking a walk in the woods. I love moving when I got a place to move to, when I got a thing to do or a place to go or a mountain to climb or a long trail to hike on. And I like doing it because I like keeping my shoulders strong so that I can carry the backpack to go where I want to go. That's not exercise. That's just fun. So what's good for you? Because you know it's good for you. And because you already experience it. What's the good you see around you? The wonder of sunshine. I love getting out and walking in nature. It's such a wonderful experience of goodness. I feel revived and renewed. And, you know, the Japanese have developed this whole forest bath, they call it, which I've been doing since I was a kid. Didn't know it had a name. Didn't know the Japanese were doing it. We just get out in the woods and enjoy the natural nature and feel the energy of that. And I can always just let go a little bit more when I do that. And there are other places and things that do that for people. Meditation is one for me. What's the good for you? Is it prosperity? Is it a greater sense of wealth and the ability to you know, our definition of prosperity is that to live the way you want, to do what you want, when you want, with whom you want. And despite our system, which may not always be supporting your prosperity or my prosperity, despite that, the laws of prosperity still work. And I can still receive more and experience more by giving more and by receiving more and by keeping the flow going. How much can you take? In the textbook, Ernest Holmes says you can take as much as you believe in. Here's the quote, or one of the quotes. It says that we are surrounded by an infinite mind that knows everything that exists as potential. In other words, it's aware of you. It's aware of us. Its awareness is moving through us. And what we draw from it, we must draw through the channel of our own minds. And this is mind with a capital M. This is the big mind, not the little mind that goes chitter-chatter and interferes with your sleep and wakes you up at night and all that. But the larger sense of mind that is really about consciousness. You must bring it through your own consciousness, which means it's all there, being offered, always. And our job as people is clearing enough of that interference that we've created in our belief systems, in our experiences, in our lives, out of the way to receive that which is really joyful for us, that which is really good. And to do that by believing we deserve it, we can have it, and there is nothing out there in the universe, the world, God, or any whatever name you want to put on it, that is saying, no, I'm sorry, not you. You know, I grew up with a God that was out there in the skies, an old man with a beard, kind of like I am now, except he was very fickle. And I could never figure out what I had to do to please him, or why some people seemed to get the blessings and I didn't, or get what they wanted and I didn't. Now, I could see where I did get it, but you know how our minds are. We go to what's missing, not what we have, unfortunately. We're programmed to do that filtering. So we look at what's missing, not what's there, way too often. It's like, you know, in your body, you get a hangnail and it'll annoy you forever until you fix it. And it's as if the rest of your body weren't working just fine because that hangnail is the only thing you know, or you get something caught in your teeth. And oh my gosh, it drives you crazy, right? It's the only part of your body that you're aware of because the rest of it is working okay, but you don't know that because you're all focused here. Receiving our good is the same thing. We need to let go of that negative stuff and turn to what do I believe in is possible for myself? What do I believe in that I can experience, that I can either have or give? Because it's a circle, it's a cycle. The having is the giving, and the giving is the having. This is built on that third essay at the beginning of the Science of Mind textbook, basically, by Ernest Holmes, entitled What It Does. What it does, it just gives. It gives of itself to itself through our, through creation, through developing worlds and universes, through each of us showing up as a part of that and having the opportunity to be like lenses that bring through us a part of that infinite into focused around a certain particular thing. It's in us, it's as us, it's through us. So the thing itself, God itself, life, spirit, is giving and giving and constantly giving and constantly giving. And the trick, the real power to receiving more of the good that is here for us. We're going to talk a lot more about this next week, but the real trick to it, the real important part to it, is staying focused on what we believe in and believing that we can receive more, whatever the area of our life is, and that we can have a greater experience of good, however we define that. Because what we believe in about that is what will happen to us. It will show up as we believe. In the way and the times, Jesus said it way back there. And we've been trying to understand that and process it ever since. Nowadays, scientists are able to see how that is working in some of the physical aspects of life, where how a projected idea or a grasped idea and strong faith can actually change the biological structure of things, the deep, deep level of perception at the quantum level, at the consciousness level. See, and this works. It's constantly giving, and it's constantly giving, and that receiving happens for us through love and law. Love, that which we have passion for, that's what we care about, that's what we that which we believe in with great energy and focus. And law, which makes it possible to take that energy and focus and create accordingly. Law of attraction, the law of compensation. There are many laws and many spiritual laws. Look it up. One of the great books on that is by Howell, and it's called Spiritual Law, because it looks at how these things work in us, but they all really come back to a simple law of cause and effect. What you believe is what the effect produces. And if you wonder what you believe, you wonder what you're thinking about any area of your life, what you really believe about it, not what you wish you believe about it, just take an inventory of that part of your life and look at what's going on. Because what's happening out there in the world around you and me and all of us, and what's happening in here match. And man, sometimes I wish that weren't true. I'd much rather out there match what I wish, not what I sometimes actually believe. But it does. But then the good news of that is then I can see it. And if I'm willing to be honest with myself and take a real look at what's out there in my life and in my feelings and in my thoughts, then I have the opportunity to change it. Because all you got to do is change your thinking. Change your beliefs. And this teaching is all about supporting us, each other, supporting one another in this community, as a community, to change our thinking, to change our expectations from expecting, oh my God, how much more can I take, to, oh, how much more can I have? How much more can I take? How much more can I participate in? How much more can I give? Because the energy of life is giving to us all the time. It's pumping our hearts. It's beating our hearts. It's breathing our lungs. It's pumping our bodies and keeping things going and working. in so many thousands of ways that we aren't even conscious of. It's giving you the opportunity to receive through perception things like love, peace, joy. They're always there. They're part of us. You can block them out as far as you can, but ultimately they kind of break through. One of my favorite versions of that story or that truth is that in the movie Steel Magnolias, when the daughter has passed away and the women friends are at the gravesite or have walked away from the actual gravesite, and the mother is just raging in her grief and her hurt and anger. And she's raging about how mad she is and how angry she is that this happened and all of the stuff about it. And she goes on and on and on. And then she just sort of, it's done. And they all stand there for a second and then they burst out laughing. Because even in the midst of the deepest sorrow and grief, there's a naturalness for joy. So all that is good for us. All those are those things that we want. And you'll notice where we really start is with the intangible parts of that. What does prosperity really mean for you? It means freedom for me. You know, what do relationships mean? It means opportunities to love and to go deeply into love. Really powerfully rich, beautiful stuff. So everything that we have going on in our lives, physically, experientially, factually, is some outward expression of an inner state of consciousness. And the way to change that outer experience is to change your consciousness. You know examples of this. You think about buying a new car. You think about what kind of car you really want, what color perhaps, or what model. And then all of a sudden, everywhere you go, you see that car. For a while, you hadn't seen him on the road at all. And then once you get the idea of what you want, they start showing up. So did everybody go out and buy that car before you so they could show it to you? No. You know that. Your perceptions open up and allow the inflow of the givingness of spirit, a givingness of God, givingness of life to show you what's been there all along. It's a rich and powerful system we live in, folks. It simply requires our getting honest with ourselves and clearing out anything that would seem to separate us from the greater good that life has to offer. And all those beliefs and separations, yes, but, you know those. We all have them at times. But we change our minds. We think differently. You say, Bobby, can I really have it all? Yeah, you can. But not all at once. I love that. I don't remember where I heard it or saw it. Somewhere in a movie, I think. You can have it all, but not necessarily all at once. Because how would you handle that? We have time built into our system of life in order to give us some sequentialness to enjoying the good that's coming to us. Think about that. Take it in. You may not get it all now, but you'll get it. For some time now, I've been feeling that I really, really want a new keyboard. I really want a big grand piano, but I don't have room for it, so I'm not buying that. But I started thinking about exactly what kind of keyboard I want, one that feels like a piano, has 88 keys, that I can play any time of day or night, because that is my meditation, and that is a way that I have always used to calm myself as well as to create and write new music and do all sorts of things with that. And it's been a long time since I've done too much of that. But lately I've been feeling this desire for more music in my life and more expression of that. So I started looking on the internet, looking around and seeing what kind of keyboards are out there. And the ones I found were quite expensive and way past the budget I've chosen to spend on that. And But I had a sense, okay, this is my piano. This is my version of this piano. And it's coming to me. And I'll walk up on it and find it somewhere. Because spirit is a gift. So God is in the business of what it's doing is giving. So I'm open to receive through whatever channel possible. We had a dear lady in my daughter's neighborhood. We called Miss Margaret, who passed away this year, a few months ago, actually. And it would have been last year. She lived in the big house up on the hill. And all of the subdivision that we live in is a part of what was originally the estate that went with that. It was a vegetable farming area. Now it's houses and stuff built in the 50s. So Miss Margaret, though, was 104 when she passed away. She's been on the planet a long time. Miss Margaret was a fabulous pianist. She played in places. She's played all over the world, actually, and done concerts and such. And unknown to me, suddenly this weekend was the weekend they were doing the estate sale to get rid of everything from her house that they were choosing to get rid of. And I heard there were a couple of pianos over there. And sure enough, a grand piano, a baby grand piano, and an electronic piano. One that she used for concerts. And while it's not the newest model, it's one of the best models out there. And of course, if it were new, it would be out of my price range. But it's there. And the exciting thing to me is Miss Margaret played it. This was her piano, her keyboard on those quick trip kinds of things where she would just go and do concerts. And it's completely within my budget. I walked in, the sale had been going on for a while. The piano was sitting in one of the best possible positions because everyone walking by was on their way out the line to pay, walked by it. Nobody bid on it, nobody taking it. I got it. I bid on it, I reduced the price, and it's sitting out in my car waiting for me to get help carrying it in because it's a big, heavy thing, even though it's a keyboard and not a whole piano. See, I changed my mind about thinking I can't have it because of price, and I got it with more piled on top. I mean, it would have been wonderful to find that piano anywhere, but to find it in her house. That was really a rich, wonderful experience. Yeah. So knowing that, think about where you have set limits and consider opening up your limits. You know, the only restriction on what you can have is, does it bring greater life to you and someone else and or someone else? And does it do no harm? Those are the two limits on how much good you can have, and there's the only limits on how much good you can have. So I'd like to close with sharing with you one of the really wonderful thoughts, I think, about the good being celebrated by us and brought to us. And I'd like to share that in the as our closing. So it comes across as an affirmation. It was a part of the reading from 365 Days of Richer Living, which our discussion group is doing right now. And it says, the peace and the power of the divine presence is with me today. I walk calmly, knowing that I am enveloped in a divine presence. I am fully conscious that my word liberates every bondage, whether it be in myself or in others. I know that my word is the law of good, automatically executing itself, irresistibly proclaiming itself, and inevitably fulfilling itself. My word opens the doorway for the greater good in my life and others as well. We deserve as much of that as we can embody and embrace and believe in. Because you're wonderful, so am I, and so it is. Thank you. And now let's take a moment and then we'll hear, well, actually we'll hear from Vance right now. Thank you.
All right. Thanks everybody. And thank you, Dr. Bob, for that wonderful talk this morning about what we can have, what we want. And in that, I know that I am spiritually fed. And as you're spiritually fed, this is a great place to donate. So if you will, with me, say our affirmation of prosperity, and you can donate at cslmidtown.org/donate or use the QR code that'll take you right there to donate, set up ongoing contributions or just one-time contributions. So with this, I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow, and all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is. Now, on to announcements.
And it's time for everybody's favorite fun game, announcements, announcements, announcements. Hey, stay in touch with the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown through our newsletter. Get one email a week, letting you stay informed. And please subscribe when visiting YouTube to our YouTube channel. Those subscriptions go a long, long way. And while you're on your social media, why not give us a like and a share on Facebook? Let your friends know what we're doing. Invite them to come watch our services with you. And join us on our Zoom room throughout the week. We offer a variety of Zoom interaction opportunities each and every week here as part of the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown. 10 a.m. Sunday is our discussion group around the 365 Science of Mind book every Sunday. 12 noon Sundays, our community fellowship immediately following our Sunday services. And 12 noon on Tuesday, our online empowerment opportunity. The access room information remains the same for all of our Zoom experiences. If you need access, please visit cslmidtown.org and you'll find access information on our website. Join us on any of our Zoom opportunities throughout the week. And while you're with us, be sure to connect with one of our professional practitioners. These are folks that are highly trained to support you along your spiritual journey. You can learn more on our website about our professional practitioners. Just head over to cslmidtown.org, click on About and Practitioners. Then you'll see their bios and a way to reach them and learn a little bit more about each of them. And please send us your prayer requests. Click on the Home tab and look for Affirmative Treatment Prayer Requests. Fill out the form, send it off, and get our professional practitioners praying for you each and every day.
All right. Two more quick things I want to tell you about before we close. One is that we are offering a class coming up online at the starting the last Wednesday of January. It's called Change Your Thinking, Change Your Life. This is a basic class in Science of Mind and in New Thought. The thing we've all heard and said many times is that you can get this teaching, you can get these ideas, and you can even begin to use them some. But if you really want to incorporate them into your being, into your way of life, into turning your life around in a really powerful way, the place to do that is in class. And Change Your Thinking, Change Your Life is a great place to start. Or if you've already been in this teaching a while, it's a great place to get a refresher and actually practice with a group of people some of those practices, some of those ideas. The other thing I would like to simply add to what Vance said in terms of prosperity, that is the way to receive is to give. And there are a number of things happening at CSL that we really require additional support to do. And that is a redone website, a marketing program that will get us out with a bigger footprint, and a number of other things that we are doing here. Your contributions are greatly appreciated. Thank you for all you've done. And the other one is to go back to an in-person place starting in probably March. That's our goal, first Sunday of March. And so think about how you might be able to contribute to helping create those greater experiences and greater expressions of the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown. Thank you. Join me now, if you will, in our closing. And here it is. I leave this place now knowing something greater, better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. Today's talk. I give thanks for this understanding. I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is.